Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Today, we're celebrating the 2020 honorees for the 70th Annual Outer Critics Circle Awards. Because of the pandemic, instead of selecting the traditional nominees with one winner from each category scenario, the 2020 Outer Critics Circle Awards chose to celebrate up to five honorees in each of its 26 categories to make room for a greater celebration of theater. And we here at All of It were fortunate to have had many of the honorees on our show in the past year, and we want to join in on the salute by revisiting some of those conversations. First up, the creative team from Tina, the Tina Turner musical, which was nominated for five awards, including one for Outstanding New Broadway Musical and for Adrienne Warren as Tina. The show follows the rise of a small-town girl with a killer voice, Anna Mae Bullock, to her life as Tina Turner, global superstar, with a whole bunch of highs and lows in between. Most infamously, the abuse at the hands of her musical partner and husband, Ike Turner. Originally running on London's West End before coming to Broadway, Tina, the Tina Turner musical, cost $16.5 million to produce. Olivier Award-winning playwright Katori Hall wrote the book. The director is Phila Lloyd, who previously worked on the juggernaut Mamma Mia. And the tiny but mighty powerhouse Adrienne Warren transforms herself into the starring role as Tina Turner. All three of them visited the All of It studios last fall, and I started by asking Katori when she knew she wanted to tell Tina Turner's story and how she knew it would translate onto stage.
It's interesting. You know, I obviously grew up on her music. Like, she was the soundtrack to my life. My mom named my eldest sister Tina, so she was always kind of playing in the background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just grow up with this icon out there, this image of this amazingly talented, like, tigress of a woman, a black woman. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I could step through the world like that. So, you know, fast forward many, many years, and I was actually approached by Tally Pellman, who's one of the producers of the show. And she and I met when she was a producer on The Mountaintop. And, you know, she was looking for a writer who was not interested in doing the sanitized version right. of Tina's life. And I was like, well, if you know my work, you know that's me. So I was, you know, just overwhelmed and honored that, you know, this little black girl from Tennessee was going to be able to tell another little black girl's story from Tennessee, which is Tina Turner. Like, that was the beginning, and to be able to show an audience, like, from that beginning to the icon and the amazing rock and roll star that she became. It was just like an honor that kind of fell in my lap, and I took it.
Well, when you sat down and you became the playwright, mm-hmm. you stopped being the fan and you became the playwright. Mm-hmm. What elements did you know that this book had to have so that this could be successful and tell a successful story?
Absolutely. You know, when I met Tina and, you know, was just in the room with her, it's this thing of, like, she is a sister girl. She is so down to earth. She is so wide in the world. And I just felt like the playwright Katori had to infuse this book with cultural specificity, social context, political context, cultural context. I have a very particular lived experience, and I just felt like, you know, the stars had aligned where the book that I probably, you know, should have been writing all my life, it just so happened that it was Tina Turner's life. And so it was that thing of, you know, just using pieces of myself and things that I've seen and witnessed. Like, I know Ike's, I know Zelma's, I know, you know, Eileen's. These are, you know, people that were in her life. And because I have been in the room with those types of people, I was like, I can do this. I can do this very transparent, authentic, truthful version of your life.
Adrienne, what was your first experience with Tina Turner's music?
I don't think there was ever a time where her music wasn't played in my household as a kid. My parents are such massive Tina Turner fans. And so I would walk around in my mom's old nylons, and I would put on her pumps, and I would walk around our house pretending like I was Tina Turner, because I'd never seen a woman, especially a black woman, at that age, that powerful and that unbelievably empowering, not only in her music, but in her dance style and her presence. And it was just so exciting when I was introduced to her. So thanks, Mom and Dad.
Phila, you met with Tina, and she initially said, it's very funny, there's this clip online that she initially didn't want the musical to happen. She said, this is going to be awkward or this is going to be difficult. but then she goes on to explain why she knew it was important for this to happen.
Mm. Yeah, I think she told us that she gets still gets hundreds and hundreds of letters from people explaining the way in which her story has given them hope. And she just felt she didn't want, you know, us to just be making a sort of eulogizing story about Tina Turner, the star. This is much more than that. It really is a kind of a message to particularly women who might be stuck in situations of domestic abuse and saying, no, you know, there will be a hard-won joy route out of this. So, yeah, we're all very much on a kind of mission to inspire women all over the world with it.
I do want to play a clip of that interview you had with her, because you ask her about going on stage and living in a life where she was abused. Let's take a quick listen.
Did you ever feel in fear of your life?
Oh, there were many times where I got really knocked out. Sometimes I have stood on stage and had pain that you cannot imagine. Black eye, swollen nose. But you go through it. You have to plow through it. You have to suffer with it. You have to sweat with it. Where did that come from? That come from having to do.
So what were the conversations like about showing the abuse on stage? Because there's abuse in her family when she's a little girl. There's abuse at the hands of Ike. What were those conversations like?
I think at first she was worried that we weren't going to be able to be truthful about it. You know, to be in the room with violence, to have an audience witnessing that and making them feel uncomfortable. She was just worried that people weren't going to be able to take it. And I was like, well, Tina, you took it for a very long time, and this is your truth. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to feel as though, you know, the musical format cannot do that and do it justice. It's okay for an audience to feel like they can't take the pain that you took. That's how we're going to take them on this journey. They have to be in that abyss with you. They have to, you know, take the hits with you, so that when you climb out of that deep, deep valley, they can feel the exhilaration of your rise and the exhilaration of your triumph. So, you know, the conversations were often tough. I remember, you know, when I would ask her questions, that just the pause, the thing of going back and the discomfort that she still had around it. And that's when I knew, I was like, well, there's still so much conflict in her heart about it, so much tension. And it's like, we have to be truthful. And so, you know, there's some trepidation, but at the end of the day, she was very invested in doing, you know, and being fully transparent about her story.
Adrian, did you have to do any kind of special work to be able to be in those scenes where you are being abused, where you're thrown, your body gets thrown around? I mean, mm-hmm. I know the actor's not hitting you, but yeah, you get thrown around the stage a lot.
Mm-hmm. The physical training for this role was crucial. I knew I had to be the strongest Adrian I could be in order to be the strongest Tina I could be on stage. And it's not just because to be her as a performer, it's unbelievably difficult, but and challenging in the best ways as an artist, but also between every dance number, I am being thrown on the floor. So I had to, I trained in boxing, and I did a lot of jump roping for my stamina. Michael Olajide is my trainer. Shout out to you. Thank
Shout
you.
Out.
And it was important for me to know that I was going to feel safe and feel safe in my own body, right? Because I am thrown on the floor a lot, and it's my responsibility to keep myself safe.
And if you saw Adrian at the end of the show, or first of all, if you see her on stage at the end of the show, you cannot believe where she gets this just astonishing energy for the final 10-15 minutes. It's like a sort of rebirth at that moment. But then you see her in the wings, and it's like watching, you know, a boxer after 15 rounds in the ring. There's a moment of pause where everybody surrounds her, and you realize that this is an extreme sport.
You spoke to Tina.
Yes.
Is there anything on stage that we see that's a direct result of your conversations with her? Any body movement,
I would say all of it.
Everything?
I would say all of it, because I realized in speaking with her, I'm so grateful that she's a part of this process with us, and you don't always get that, so we're very, very lucky, and we realize that. But in speaking with her, I realized that she and I have so many similarities. We're both from the South. Both of us have, my father is a preacher as well. And we both kind of had this humble beginning of like just being in rural South. And we were both raised as athletes. And I think what's so interesting about her is learning about her as a person, as a woman. And that's what I tried to really work on with this character, is so that you get to see her as Anna Mae Bullock and not just as the entity of Tina Turner. And so a lot of those conversations were about, what does she do as a woman? What does she do as a person? What does she eat? What are her hobbies? Does she sleep? Like all of those, that's what I wanted to know.
Sure.
Because, you know, it wasn't just about, this is how she stands as a performer. She asked me one day, she said, Adrienne, why do you think I stand like that? And I go, oh, well, that's your power stance. And she goes, I stood like that because I couldn't hit the notes. And I started implementing all of that into my performance as well. And I realized, oh, wait, if you anchor down this way, your notes really do go this way, or you're able to connect more to the ground or to your diaphragm in a different way because that is how she stands. So it's been all encompassing, and I'm grateful to have those moments with her for sure. Mm-hmm.
My guests are Adrienne Warren, Katori Hall, and Felita Lloyd. We're talking about Tina, the Tina Turner musical. I'm going to go for some, we talked a lot of deep stuff. I just want to go for some of the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You have so many wigs.
So many wigs.
So many wigs.
Yes.
And there's actually the wig, the sort of the famous 80s wig, is carried around in a box, like it's a crown on a
yes, you got it. It is a crown.
Tell me about the weight of that, and also it's with so much dancing.
Yeah. It's actually quite light, but we have a trick now that we use a magnet. There's a magnet on my head. I was born with it. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's a magnet that I put on at intermission. And so now that sucker holds that thing down. And it's fantastic because I can just dance with it. It's a pretty light wig. Yeah. So I just want to make sure it doesn't fall off.
And it's one of the many changes that we've made from the London show. Mm-hmm. I think Adrienne looked at me as if, you know, I love you, but I want to kill you. When I said, will you do one more costume change in front of the audience, because she literally does not leave the stage.
Yeah,
and she did have like one moment where she could sneak off and have a little drink, but now she's got to stay there and go through this. So it's it's an endurance test.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite, I think, costume changes on stage, because it's very ritualistic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the show is like, you know, it has so many of the moments of ritual in terms of religion, in terms of the chanting. And so it becomes like, it's like definitely a crown being placed on her head.
Yeah.
So I always joke on this show that we have, there's like a low hum of feminism.
Somebody said to me, really loud.
Somebody said to me the other day, not that low, Allison.
Yeah.
I mean, we have an all-female creative team
sitting
in front of me.
Rare.
Have you been in that situation before? What do you think is actually unique about this situation?
I've luckily been in that position before. I did a play down at Arena Stage where writer, director, and all the women on stage, it was like, oh yes, lady power up in here. And the one thing that I will say is different from when it feels like, you know, a man is in charge, is that the circle is important. The idea that we are holding hands and invested in telling this story together. And not to say that there aren't men who,
of course not. There are many folks.
Wouldn't allow that, but there's just this kind of, I don't know, instant feeling of equality and space is constantly being made, because women are often put in position where their space is taken away from them. So I have been in that position before, and so I must say I was ready to do it again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, to have a producer who is a woman, and Phyllida has taught me so much about writing musicals, because I hadn't done it before. And she just kind of welcomed me with open arms into like a new way of telling stories.
How about for you, Adrienne, as an actor?
I'd never been blessed to work with an all-female creative team like this, and of course Anthony, of course. But I would say it's been one of the most incredible life-changing moments of my career. that I hope I can redo over and over again. You know, I've learned so much from every single woman in this room and Tali Pellman and Tina herself, and it's changed my life. And I don't really know what I'm gonna do when they all leave when the show is ours, you know. But it is, there's an understanding and a sisterhood and a care and a nurturing that is always there. And I never at any moment felt like I couldn't go to anyone and say I need help, even if I didn't at times. But, you know, I always felt like there was a support system behind me that was there, really empowering me to be the best Adrian I could be.
Can you all see the audience? Can you see the audience, Adrian? Do you see what's going on?
Actually, at the LUT, I can't see them quite as much. But at the very end, when I get to around What's Love Got to Do with It, I can see them a bit more, because that's when I start to connect and I start to sing to the audience, which is my favorite part of the show. One thing Tina did tell me when we were talking one-on-one, she says, I perform for my fans. Hmm. I perform for the group that I'm in the room with. And so that was really important for me to learn to connect with as many people as I possibly could in the theater in those moments, because that is Tina.
There are some stands.
Oh my gosh.
Show up with the hair.
Stands, people crying. Yeah. I love it when people are standing up before they know the show is over with. And like, simply the best, they're already up on their feet. I don't know, I think it was Wednesday night, like the back, they were going insane.
Really?
Like, they just were like, no, 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 this is a Tina Turner concert. And that's what Adrian delivers. Like, you feel like you're watching Tina
Oh,
Turner.
For sure, for a couple times. What do you think is the takeaway from the musical, aside from your amazing performance? I was with somebody who doesn't go to a lot of musicals, and he kept going, she's so tiny, she's amazing, she's so tiny, but she's the idea that you're so small but also so big, it was just fun. I was like, yeah, I got it, she's tiny and she's amazing. But the bigger takeaway from the story, from the staging, from what you want people to feel,
I think it's, you know, the thing that she, when I asked her what should we be going for? What is the essence? And she said the spontaneity. And I feel that when you're in Adrian's presence, you actually think this cannot have happened before and will not happen again. You're in the presence of a one-off, unrepeatable night of theatre.
Yeah. She was like, you know, I've taken a lot of poison in my life, but this show is like turning that poison into medicine for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are going to walk out of that show changed and transformed because they have seen someone do the impossible, which is break through every obstacle and win.
Yeah. Yeah. And they live with one person all night, you know, with that. Unfortunately, it's just me, guys. I'm sorry. Little Sky, who plays Anime. But, you know, you get to live with that one character and get to see them go through this journey, and you're not sure if they're going to come out on the other side. You know, because you know the end of the story, but you just, you know, and sometimes in even watching the show, you don't know. You're like, when is she going to take a break? Mm-hmm. When is she going to, you know, take a drink of water? I thought when she asked you about the challenge, I thought you were going to say, when can Adrian have water?
That's Adrian's challenge.
That's my challenge. But yes, and I think that's what's so special about this piece, is that you feel the weight of what her life has been. Mm-hmm. And it's been a train that she just had to hold on tight, and she did, and she did it.
That was my conversation with actor Adrian Warren, playwright Katori Hall, and director Phyllila Lloyd about Tina, the Tina Turner musical, which received 5 Outer Critics Circle honors.